somehow we just seem to exalt really well when Marlon is with us. And I feel like I'm about 10 feet off the ground. I feel exalted, and I hope you do too. Welcome to worship at Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. I greet each and every one of you with the warm heart of Christian fellowship and pray a blessing upon you during this hour. And thank you for your participation in this service. I want to mention again about this cross because a couple people have asked me. The cross was actually made, the white cross was made by Huey Danley. Huey, say hi to everybody back there. I asked him if he could make this cross, and on Ash Wednesday, it was just a plain white cross at the beginning of the service. And then I asked people when they had the ashes on their forehead to put their thumb in the ashes and put their thumbprint on the cross to signify Christ taking our brokenness on himself. And this is a reminder during the Lenten season of what he has done for us. And it's each and every one of those folks have their individual thumbprint because Christ died for you and for me. And we remember that especially during the season of Lent. Let's begin our service of worship this morning with greeting one another with the peace of Christ.
Well, good morning, Calvary. Good morning, and welcome to the house of God. And he has blessed us today with another beautiful day, and I just want to thank him for that. Thank you, Lord, for being in this house. I know the Holy Spirit is in here,
amen,
along with Marlon and the choir. And I am just so happy to be here. I do. My spirits feel lifted. I feel like I'm walking on clouds. Anyway, my name is Robin Stowers, and I am blessed to be your liturgist and to serve Calvary and to serve the Lord. And we are certainly welcome that each and every one of you are here this morning. Please, you know, salty service, past prayer request, praises, and our welcome cards. Those are very important. A weekly due diligence of ours, and we appreciate your participation in that. If you would, take a look. Don't really have a whole lot of announcements because most of them are on the back of our bulletin. And again, Barbara, what time did you decide that the children's ministry was going to be? Okay. Amen. Okay, so that will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It'll be daylight for all of those who don't really care to drive at night. And we are certainly praying for Barbara and the committee on our children's ministry here in church. And look, you know, these babies we've got here are going to grow up. We need the children's ministry, so please keep that in your prayers. Also, we have two awesome and wonderful Bible studies, opportunities for every one of you. If you would like to, you know, take the plunge, we have the Lenten Bible study led by lovely Pastor Esther at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. And on Thursday night, we have a Bible study here at the church, and it's called Draw the Circle. Each and every one are invited to come. And also, Gene Clark will be starting his Bible study the first Thursday in March. Is that correct? Yes, sir. All right. So three wonderful opportunities to get to know the Lord better, and just the fellowship and all that goes on with that is totally amazing. So we invite you to that. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, sir. Okay, to sign up so you can get books, probably. Okay, very good. Woo, amen. Okay, he is in the directory. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board, and that is just for his Bible study that will be starting the first Thursday in March at 2 o'clock. It is Invitation to the New Testament at 2 o'clock. But it's not this week. It's the first Thursday in March it will start. Okay? I guess I need to have the date on that. But anyway, the 3rd, March 3rd. Thank you. Ask and ye shall receive. Okay. We are still help wanted, okay? Help wanted. It's a wonderful job, position available, communion steward, no experience or references necessary. So we are still in need of that. We are also in need of a head usher, although we love our handsome ushers back there, but somebody needs to be in charge of them. Who wants that task? Well, I'm sure somebody does, but anyway, God'll take care of that.
Ron could be in charge of them.
Ron could be in charge of them. Ron's in charge of a lot of things. Okay, and W.E. Cherry, you know, the month is almost over, but we have been collecting tissues, hand sanitizer, and construction paper. Do we have any other announcements that need to be made from the church community? No? Okay. Well, then let's turn in our bulletins to our opening words. We are on a journey of faith. Jesus is our leader and our guide.
We place our trust in Him.
As the daylight hours grow longer, our journey takes on an urgency.
We must prepare our hearts for Jerusalem.
Do not fear. God goes before us into Jerusalem and into the world. Amen. Amen. Was I supposed to mention this? Oh, okay.
Sometimes I get so caught up trying to be funny that I'm not funny. Good morning. I hope you're having a wonderful day. And welcome to Calvary. If you'd stand and turn to page 339 in your hymnal, we'll sing, Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast.
Thank you.
you'd turn to page 883, we'll have our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let's see if we can all get under it. Can you get under the blanket? Can you get under the blanket? You can get under it. Here. Let's. Oh, come on, Zachary.
I can't do it.
You can't do it. You need some blanket. Okay, there you go. There you go. Oh, isn't that great? Look at all my little chicks. Yeah. Yeah, we have a special Bible story today where Jesus talks about being a mother hen to all his disciples and followers. And you know what the little chicks do with a mother hen? They try to get as close to her as they can. And she puts her wings around her little baby chicks, and they stay close to her. And that's what God desires for you. God wants to love you just as much as a mother hen loves her little chicks and put you all under the wings. Doesn't it feel nice to cuddle up under the wings? It's a nice feeling. No, he says. Well, there's always got to be one. But yes, we are in God's arms. If we let God hold us, we have to be willing to let God hold us. Sometimes we're not, and sometimes we run in a different direction. But God wants to hold us close as possible. And one of the things he does that we can see him doing that in is when we're baptized. Baptism for us is God saying, I want you to be part of my family. I want you, and you are going to be under my wings. God's wings are so big they can envelop every single person, because that's what God's love does. It envelops us. And I want you to remember your baptism in a very special way. You were probably too young to remember being baptized, but I want you to remember that when you take a bath or a shower and you get off and you dry yourself with a towel, I want you to think about the arms of God when you dry yourself off with a towel, just like this blanket. Wrap your towel around you and say, I am baptized. I am baptized. And because of that, God has sought and God seeks us out until we come to him and never gives up to find us. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you so much for your love, oh God, and we pray your blessing upon all these children as they grow in your grace and truth, that they may know and love you as you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Welcome. Now, see, I did that in the first service, and it was Thomas who was helping me, and Thomas is a little bit too old to like being under a blanket. But they all liked it. The little ones liked it. They all wanted to get under there. They did. They did. Will the ushers please come forward as we continue to worship God with the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Let us pray. Oh, good and gracious Lord, we come to you in prayer to thank you for the love that seeks us out and that seeks to envelop us under your arms. We pray your blessing on this church, that we as a church draw close to you and know you. We pray, dear God, that you will use us and the gifts that we bring for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's joy for the morning and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. Fall in his arms, come as you are. Joy for the morning, O sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are.
Thank you, Lord.
We appreciate you. And we come to a time of prayer, and I do want to mention some people that I'm aware of. We've had a lot of people in and out of the hospital, and I wanted to share with you some of them. Nancy Macer is home again after being in the hospital three times in a matter of 2 weeks, and so she's needing some time to recover and recuperate, and we hope this time she'll stay at home and not have to go back. Lou Beattie was in the hospital last week and is also now at home, and we are praying for her and for Art. Art has an infection on his leg, but you know that Lou has put up quite a battle facing cancer, and we remember her especially. I want to also commend to you the family and friends of Betty Bayer. I know a Betty Beattie, anyway. Betty Bayer, who passed away a little over a week ago, especially those in our congregation that have been her support group, her friends, and all of those who have worked in the craft group. I wonder if you would stand, all of you who worked with Betty in the craft group. There's several there, one here, and there's Barbara right there. And so we are praying for you because Betty was your heart and soul, and we know that you are missing her and love her. And so we extend our prayers to you as well today. And Sherry, who's not here with us, Sherry's the only other one that's not. She's in the nursery, Sherry Federici. So remember Sherry as well. Thank you, Beth. You may be seated. Louis Ordonez is here, Reverend Ordonez, and we have missed him and are praying for all of the Ordonez family losing Cora. But we are so glad to see you today and glad that you are here. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for being here. Marlene Stone has returned home after a hospital stay overnight last weekend, and we are praying for her, for strength and for health continued. And how is she doing, Rhonda? So there'll be some changes taking place. Okay, thank you, Rhonda. Thank you for that. Are there others this morning in our church family that we need to share this morning that I have maybe left out? Your dad, how's your dad doing?
Very weak.
Very weak, okay. So we need to pray for your mom as well, who takes care of him. Okay, thank you, Jamie. Thank you. And others, during this time of silence, I will invite you to pray silently, and then if you feel led to share other names that we may or may not know, but God certainly knows, to lift up before the Lord in prayer. Let us go to God and pray together. Oh God, we confess today that you know us better than we know ourselves. You know what we are able to bear. You know what would destroy us. We pray today for all who face danger, both in our community and in the world. We pray for people standing in lines for food and water. For people without permanent housing. And we pray for those who have been bereaved. We bring to you in prayer those who are unemployed, underemployed, and those in fear of losing their jobs. And we pray for all who stand bravely for Christ on this day. And for all who wait patiently on your promises. Remind all who struggle that they are not forsaken, that their faith in you is not misplaced. and open our hearts to respond to the needs of a hurting world. Make us be your hands and feet and walk us into places where people need you most. May we follow the path of Jesus, wherever it leads to take us, so that you might be glorified on this earth. We pray in the name of the one who taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd stand and look just above Ron Coleman's head, we'll sing I'll Fly Away. For future reference, it's always okay to move around when you sing.
That's the way to worship God, I think. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay, this morning our scripture comes from Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. There we go. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. He said to them, Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So I bet most of you are familiar with the various expressions about a fox loose in the hen house. Even though, how many of you were raised in the country? Let me just see. There are a few of you who were raised in the country. Okay. Even those of you in the city have probably heard that. It traces back to this medieval proverb, and it's similar to a Roman adage that says the wolf about the wolf guarding the sheep. Anyway, it's a very old proverb. And it's likely that any country that has foxes and hens and crooked politicians has a similar saying. And we're going to talk a little bit about crooked politicians. Herod, that is. Jesus grew up in farm country, in the area around the Galilee was rural, and he often used expressions from rural life to make his points, and that's what he's done today. We have the idea of a sly fox loose in the hen house, coupled with a hen anxious to protect her chicks under her wings. These provide us with a powerful image of the dangers that prey upon us in life and the promise that God seeks to protect us and our stubborn refusal to allow the love of God in our lives. The setting today is relatively late in Jesus' ministry. He has made it known that he's leaving his base in Galilee and is heading to Jerusalem for Passover. And he's been causing quite a stir in the countryside, preaching and teaching and healing disease and casting out demons. And word of mouth has gotten around to even the littlest children in the land, from all the way from them up to King Herod. They have heard something about this man they called the Galilean, the miracle worker, who not only heals, but who also proclaims the coming of God's righteous kingdom. Jesus' words about the coming of the kingdom interests the Pharisees and frighten King Herod. I want to say a brief word about the Pharisees. We've sometimes been taught to consider them the biblical bad guys. Today they're not so bad, I mean in the scripture today. You might remember, some of you, this song from youth camp about, I don't want to be a Pharisee because they're not fair, you see. Well, today, in this passage today, it would be us who is not being fair. Because if the Pharisees weren't interested in what Jesus had to say, they wouldn't have kept coming around and asking questions and probing and digging, trying to find out if he is the Messiah, the one sent to bring in the kingdom. Even though they weren't part of Jesus' entourage, they weren't always as antagonistic to him as we have sometimes supposed. The Pharisees in this scripture today had connections somehow to high places. They had heard things or rumors or innuendos, or perhaps they had heard straight out planning. But however it was that they knew for sure that Herod was out to get him, to kill him. Herod was the fox loose in Israel's hen house. The king was supposed to protect and care for Israel. And unlike the rulers of other countries in the ancient Near East, the king of Israel was not considered divine, not a god. The true king served God as a leader and a shepherd, a caregiver tending to God's people. And Herod was none of those things. He was a ruthless, conniving coward. He had forced his brother Philip to get a divorce so he could marry Philip's wife. He murdered John the Baptist because his wife told him to. And it's likely he wanted to get rid of Jesus because of his connection with John the Baptist. And because he could not understand what sort of kingdom Jesus was talking about. But whatever it was, it seemed like a threat to national security. And Herod was not going to risk that. Better to torture him and kill him than to take a risk. And so today, it's no wonder when we hear the Pharisees to tell Jesus, get away from here, do not stay here. But Jesus was undeterred. He sent Herod a message of defiance, saying, go and tell that fox for me that I am going to finish what I started, and then I'm coming your way. In what he says next, Jesus weaves together a couple of word pictures. First is the image of the prophets being sent to Jerusalem, and the Hebrew scriptures, if you know anything at all about our Old Testament, are the long story of the children of Israel continually rejecting the prophets and turning their backs on God. Second, he also continues the idea of Herod as a fox, comparing God to a mother hen who desires to gather her brood under her wings to protect them from the dangers loose in the world. And notice how Jesus puts this. He says, how often I have desired to gather your children together, but you were not willing. Desired by God, but defied by the people. God seeks, but the people run. God yearns to protect, but the people yearn to be what they think is free and independent. And my friends, we're no different today. Those of us here in church have gotten over, or will soon get beyond, the age of pushing against those boundaries, which teenagers often do. Not you. You won't get to that age. However, most of us find yourself in this if you can. Most of us try to live good and moral lives. We don't always remember all of the Ten Commandments or exactly how they apply to everyday life, but we have a pretty good handle on the basics. Most of us, most of the time, are doing all right, being upstanding citizens. We don't break the law. We help our neighbors and give something back to the community. Most of us live up to the standard of being a good Christian and a fine American. This is true. But what about when we don't? What about when we fail or fall? When we do something we know we shouldn't and afterward wish we hadn't? Or what about when bad things happen to those of us who consider ourselves good people who should not be so ill-treated? What about when the fox of the world, its evil, its greed, its random destructiveness, its capacity to push us back and push us down, overwhelms us? Do we remember God then? Do we remember the mothering God who seeks to wrap her soft and protective wings around us? Or are we like the citizens of Jerusalem, unwilling to listen to the prophets? The gospel in this text and in our lives is in the very last line. The time comes when you say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." This looks back to Psalm 118, a psalm sung when a new king, a true king, a shepherd of the people, a leader, not a fox, entered into the temple and into his kingship. It looks back to that, and it looks forward in time to the near future when Jesus will enter Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, lauded by the people as the true King, and thus Messiah of the Lord. And it looks forward with Paul and Timothy to that day when, at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee should bend in heaven and earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee, every tongue. That's you and that's me. That's everybody. God made us. And God loves what God made. God loves us with the fierce and determined love of a mother hen. And God is patient. God waits for us to return. We may be unwilling, but God is undeterred. That old mother hen will stay out there searching for us, doing battle with the world's foxes and the wolves, standing ready to receive us when we are ready to come home. It amazes me how sometimes the things in our worship service sort of dovetail with each other. And we heard this beautiful solo earlier about a wanderer pleading the wanderer to come home. You're not too far away. Never too far away. Thank God for that. God wants to surround you with his arms of love. Come home today. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and look to the screen behind me. We'll sing "As the Deer."
As
the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest now and abide with you as you leave this place. Go in His peace. Amen.
On your words.
I know.